The $8.7 billion state budget for the financial year that begins 3 days before the Bristol 4th of July parade seems greased for approval at the State House. As is usually the case, this spending and taxing plan contains elements that Rhode Islanders should cheer, yet fails to address some crying needs. On the plus side, a surplus of more than $100 million meant no increases in the broad-based sales and income taxes. There are cuts in state income taxes on Social Security and a drop in energy taxes paid by business. Education at the elementary and secondary level gets a boost, and higher education receives a modest increase. There are a number of economic development initiatives that Raimondo and her team have pushed. And spending on medical programs for the poor has been trimmed in a manner that hopefully won't hurt them. On the minus side, the spending plan does not provide extra money to deal with one of Raimondo's major campaign themes, fixing the state's crumbling bridges and potholed roads. There are new taxes on health insurance policies. Most importantly, there's nothing in the budget that addresses high property taxes, which hurt businesses and hard-pressed homeowners. The budget appears to follow the State House tradition of handing out goodies to business and selected groups of taxpayers, such as the politically untouchable elderly, and making mayors and town councils live with the no-win task of raising property taxes to support roads, schools, and police. This isn't the first time such thinking has held sway at the Capitol. Several years ago, under then-Governor Don Carcieri's tenure, lawmakers went along with a plan to slash aid to cities and towns. At the same time, tax rates for the wealthiest Rhode Islanders dropped. This was supposed to jumpstart the economy. Instead, it led to soaring property taxes and rivers of red ink in municipal budgets. Central Falls, the state's poorest community, plunged into bankruptcy. Raimondo did get the Assembly to approve a bunch of programs, most of them modest, to bring economic activity to a state still struggling to recover jobs lost in the recession. Among the most promising are tax credits for real estate development, redevelopment of the former Interstate 195 land in downtown Providence, and help for small business owners who want to expand. Other ideas are hazy. There is something called an Industry Cluster Grants Fund, which is designed to help, quote, geographic concentrations of interconnected firms and related industries in a field, whatever that means. The good news here is that lawmakers have some control over what works and what doesn't. Almost all of the new economic development initiatives expire on the last day of Raimondo's first term in December 2018. After an opening joust with lawmakers over derogatory remarks she made at a national governor's meeting in Washington, D.C., Raimondo and the Democrats who control the Assembly forged a good working relationship on this budget. She got much of what she wanted through negotiations with House Speaker Nick Mattiello of Cranston and Senate President Teresa Pivoweed of Newport. Mattiello saved her from votes that could have been embarrassing to her administration by nixing the so-called Taylor Swift tax on fancy second homes and delaying consideration of a controversial toll on trucks. The tolls and another too-hot-to-handle issue, the Pawtucket Red Sox move to a new stadium in Providence, were put aside for another day. In the long run, Raimondo's biggest win of the session was the settlement of the lawsuit over the pension overhaul that she championed as state treasurer. What began with a blast of battles with state workers and their union leaders ended with a whimper of a compromise. At least the state can move on from the possibility of a legal judgment that could have severely hampered the future, everything from policing the roads to educating the kids and helping the poor. It's nice to see an era of good feelings on Smith Hill, even if we don't know how long it will last.